The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nest in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. The Gospel of the Lord. Now, the story I'm about to tell you, some of you may have heard before. You know, when you preach quite a few times, you kind of forget exactly what all you've said. But I know that I've shared this a number of times. It happened in July 1991. When I was a rising senior in high school. And my youth group went to Dallas, Texas, to the ELCA National Youth Gathering. And that place was absolutely incredible. We would pack into this huge arena, 30,000 youth. And when you're a Lutheran from the South, I didn't know that many Lutherans existed, much less all of them in one place at one time. And it was crazy. There were kids that had crosses shaved into the back of their heads, and they wore all these Jesus-looking shirts, and everyone was singing and dancing and praising God. It was like nothing I had ever seen. There were all kinds of cool exhibits to look at and stores to go into. There were great speakers, and one of those speakers was a guy named Tony Campolo. Now, he's kind of a famous speaker in some areas of Christianity, and he was speaking to the National Youth Gathering that day. And he was a good speaker, too. He was funny and educational, inspirational. It was great. But at some point during his speech, for me, everything got quiet, and I heard a voice say, very distinctly, "Stephen, be a pastor." Now, you got to know, I'm a preacher's kid. And so when you're a preacher's kid, a lot of adults will come up to you and say, "Well, aren't you going to follow in your father's footsteps?" Well, clearly these people didn't know me very well, because if they did, they would know that I didn't have that preacher kind of personality. And besides, you know, I wanted to go out and make some money, and I knew the hassle that pastors had would go through. So there was no way in the world that I was going to do that. But at that moment, I heard that voice. Now, looking back, I think it was God. But even if it wasn't, here's what I know to be true. In those 10 seconds of the probably 2.5 billion seconds of my life, my entire world was altered. In that seemingly small and insignificant time, everything changed. You know, right now there's something seemingly small and relatively insignificant thing that is making a big impact on this world. Maybe you've heard of it. It's called the virus COVID-19. Now, maybe you've had COVID or maybe not, but we've all experienced viruses in our bodies, right? Some of them keep us running to the bathroom. Some of them give us sneezing and coughing and achy head, fever. And some of them give us fevers. And some of them just make us feel lousy. But when we have a virus, we know it, right? It sort of rocks our entire world. But a virus is so small that it takes an electron microscope, a $1 million piece of equipment, just to be able to see it. You don't know it's there until you see its impact. And boy, have we not seen its impact. I mean, right now we're wrestling about when schools reopen, what that's going to look like, whether it's going to be 5 days a week or 2 days on, 2 days off, or if we're going to meet virtually. There are people that have lost their jobs because of this small, seemingly insignificant, invisible thing. There are people who won't go to restaurants and stay in their home. It's changed families. Folks, I haven't seen my parents since January. It's changed the way we do business. We have meetings by Zoom. It changes the way we shop. We're always wearing masks and going out in places, if we go out at all. It's changed everything. Something so small that we can't even see it has had a huge impact on our entire world. And that's what the first two parables that we heard about today are about. We heard four parables, and they were talking about the kingdom of heaven. Now, before we get started, it's important to understand exactly what the kingdom of heaven that Jesus was referring to is. In Mark and Luke's gospel, Jesus refers to the kingdom of God. It's the same thing, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus is not talking about heaven or what happens when we die. Jesus is talking about the presence of God right here, right now in our world. And so he says, the presence of God is like this. It's like a mustard seed, the smallest of all seeds. But when someone sows it in the ground, it grows into a bush and into a tree where the birds of the air nest in its branches. So what does that mean? It means that this seed, about a millimeter to 2 millimeters in size, grows and grows and grows, and it becomes this massive bush, almost like a tree. And it says that our text says birds of the air, but what it says is birds of the heaven. In other words, all kinds of birds, every kind of bird there is, comes. So the kingdom of God starts out in this small, seemingly insignificant way, and it grows and grows, and it makes space for everyone, every race, every gender, every nationality, every religion, everyone finds space in his branches. Everyone in the world. And that's the kingdom of God, where eventually everyone will be gathered in. And then he tells another parable. And this parable is about yeast. It says it's like a woman who mixes in yeast with 3 measures of flour. And it grows and grows and leavens the whole batch. Well, there are some things that we need to know about what's being said there. First of all, the original language doesn't say mixes, it said hides. So she's hiding this yeast in there. Now, if you've seen yeast, I mean, it's even smaller than a mustard seed. And the reality is yeast is really nothing more than cells. And so it gets mixed in with these 3 measures of flour. 3 measures of flour is about 60 pounds of flour. Folks, we're not talking like a bag. We're talking like enough to bake bread for a small village. And so what Jesus is saying here is this little bit, this thing that seems small and seemingly insignificant makes a huge impact that everyone can see. And once they see it, well, that's when the next two parables come into play. See, once they see it, the kingdom of heaven is like this. It's like this man who's in a field and he finds his treasure. And when he sees this treasure, he hides it and goes and sells everything that he has so he can come back and buy the whole field, not just the treasure, the whole field that it's in. Well, that's kind of wild, isn't it? And it makes a little bit of sense. I mean, the finder's keeper's rule back then worked like this. You couldn't just go to somebody's land, find something, even if they didn't know it was there, and take it away. But if you owned the property that it was on, because they didn't have banks, and so people would generally bury their stuff, well, then you can have what is on your land. And so that's exactly what this person did. And it makes economical sense, doesn't it? I mean, if you go and sell everything you got so that you can have the treasure that's on this land, chances are you're going to make a lot of bank. You're going to make even more money than you had before. So you go and you give all that you had, and you get even more back. That's the kingdom of heaven. You get more than you give. And that makes plenty of sense, doesn't it? But then we get to the next part. Not so much sense. It says the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. And then he finds this one pearl that's so beautiful, so wonderful, that he goes and sells everything he has for this one pearl. Now see, that doesn't make any sense though, does it? Because really, the only way to make a profit on this one pearl would be to sell it. And then it sort of defeats the purpose of selling everything that you've got to get this one pearl to go around and sell it. You're not going to get any more money off of it because clearly it's already expensive. The guy had to sell everything he had to get it. But what it means is this, that the kingdom of heaven is so precious, so wonderful, so amazing that we will do anything and everything to grab it. We'll give everything we've got to have it. So what does this mean in our lives? Well, it's like this, folks. At baptism, a seemingly small and insignificant 10 seconds in our lives, that mustard seed is planted, that yeast is hidden in us. We become a member of the body of Christ. We're given the promise of eternal life. We're given the gift of faith. And throughout our lives, that faith grows and grows and expands. And the evidence of that faith becomes obvious. People see the presence of God in our lives. And that has a huge impact. Those 10 seconds when we're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in the probably 2.5 billion seconds of our lives, turns out to make a huge impact. Right? So then, where do the other two parables fit in? I mean, have you given away everything that you have for the kingdom of heaven? I have. I haven't. I mean, in fact, I don't know many people that have. I mean, if we all did, I promise you the church would never, ever have to worry about money again, would it? You know, if we gave everything we had for the kingdom of heaven, who does that? So, what does this mean to us in our lives? Why don't we? Is something wrong with us? Do we not realize that the kingdom of heaven is there? Do we not realize how precious it is? Well, let me explain this in the form of a confession. Earlier, I talked about COVID-19 and how it's this tiny little virus that without an electron microscope, you can't even see it, and yet it's had such a huge impact on our world. And I, like every other pastor, have talked a great deal about this over the last month, like everybody has. And I've kind of become Mr. Mask, you know? I mean, if you've followed any of my sermons or seen any of my announcements, you know this. I believe masks are extremely important. I believe that that's our best way to not only fight this illness, but also to be able to share our loves to others because it's not about not catching, it's about not giving it to someone else. Well, yesterday I was at a meeting here at the church with 5 other people, and a picture of us was posted on Facebook. Sitting next to each other, not wearing any masks. And thankfully, people called me on that. You know, hey man, are you going to practice what you preach? But here's the truth. There's a lot of times, this tiny little virus that has changed everything, something that we can't see, that we don't always notice, and a lot of times we forget that it can be there. Even though it is. And I think that's what sin and self-centeredness does with the kingdom of heaven in our life. I think sometimes our sinfulness sort of blinds us to the reality of God's presence in, with, and around us. Because if we did know, if we did notice, if we knew that God was there, surely we would. Surely we would recognize the preciousness of this incredible gift. Surely we too would sell everything we've got, give away all of ourselves, just to have a piece of it. But sin gets in the way. And we fail to recognize this presence in our lives. So what can we do about that? Well, the first thing I think that we can do is we can look for love. We need to consciously go out and look for love. Now, I'm not saying to get on Match.com or anything like that. What I'm saying is look for love. Look for the love signs of love around you. Maybe you see a mother taking care of her little child. Maybe you see a grandfather playing ball with his granddaughter out in the front yard. Maybe you see a couple holding hands. Maybe it's a movie on television. Maybe you see someone serving someone else or just being kinder or flashing a smile. Look for the evidence of love around you. Because where there is love, there is God. Because God is love. And so if we look for love, if we see the love around us, then we're going to see the evidence. We're going to see the yeast that has risen. We're going to see the shrub that has grown. We're going to see the kingdom of heaven in our midst. And then, my friends, after we look for love, point out the positive. Because let's be honest, the world needs that right now. There is so much negativity that surrounds us. All the time, we talk about all the things that are going bad. We post it on Facebook. We tweet about it. We gossip about it. Oh, did you hear what this person said? Did you look at what this person did? Did you hear about the Republicans? Did you hear about the Democrats? Did you see what the president has done this time? Did you see what Nancy Pelosi has done? All this stuff that's going on. Oh, my goodness. We are so negative about everything. We need to point out the positive. After we look for love, we need to point out the positive. We need to share with other people the joy, the happiness, the grace that is found in this world. We need to point out the good things in our lives. We need to point out the good things that are going on around us. Maybe you find a uplifting thing on social media. Share that. You know, share a happiness. Share a smile. But what you need to do is you need to share that positivity. We need to change the world this way. And in so doing, we're going to not only see, but we're going to perpetuate the joy and love and the presence of God in our world. My friends, a seed has been planted at our baptism. Yeast has been hidden within us. And it is continuously growing and growing and raising us up. And therefore, we need to show, we need to look for the love around us. We need to point out the positives. Because then, my friend, then you'll be changed. And then you'll change the world. And people will wonder, what can such a small, seemingly insignificant person do to change everything? Well, that's what the kingdom of heaven is. Amen.